Today I stand on a pulpit today and tonight with a lot of fear and trembling inside of me. Because some assignments that God gives you are scary. But I can't do it in my own strength, and I will never do it in my own strength, and I'll never do it in my own ability. One of the greatest things that God has taught me in the last couple of, let's say, years, but especially the last maybe 2-3 years, is learning to remove Esther-leader prayer and fully come to a place of where you surrender. No matter what the assignment, no matter what the agenda is that God has, the purpose that He has, or the moments that He wants to use you in, I've had to learn, and I can guarantee you there's been so many times where I've been scared, where I would cry beforehand and I'm like, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how I can do this. But all I do is I'm just the willing vessel that God can use. I do my best to surrender as to what he wants to do. So in saying that, tonight is going to be a very... Tonight is going to be a night. I don't want to put a word on it because I can't. In my natural vocabulary, I can't put a word on it. And if I'm pacing, it's just because I can't stand still. You know, have you ever seen people when they're in the spirit, they just do this and they can't stop? It's because their body just won't allow them to stop. So I can't put a label on tonight, but what I am going to say is you need to be here, but you need to come with a demand of what God needs to do in your life and in your family's life, in your vicinity, whoever. If you're not standing here tonight on behalf of yourself, you are standing here on behalf of somebody else. So with that, I want you to follow the instruction that I give you. Tonight, when you come, do not leave anything at home that is any form of a contact point. I need you to bring your documents. I need you to bring your cards. I need you to bring photographs. I need you to bring whatever you need to bring. There needs to be a contact point. Again, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your business, whether it's for your family, whether it's for your friends, whether it's for your disciples, whether it's for whoever it is. But don't just come with that. You need to come with an expectation after what I'm going to share with you today. I don't have a message planned. I just have a few scriptures written down. Come tonight with an expectation, with a hunger. And even if you come with faith as small as a mustard seed, our team, our pastors, and all the leaders who have maybe a bit of more faith than you, we will come with great faith on behalf of you. It's not going to be a normal Sunday. We don't have to get into religion and tradition and certain ways of doing things. So to start off, I'm going to say that yesterday, God gave me the honor, the privilege, and a really big responsibility to minister in a church where I had to minister to 3,500 women. And I had to introduce the deliverance ministry, the power ministry, operating in signs, wonders, and miracles to this church. Not that they haven't done it, and not that the senior pastors can't do it and all that kind of stuff. I can't explain. It's too long to explain the story. But anyway, I went in there. Or let me not say introduce, but just... Let me say to activate certain spiritual gifts and stuff on them. And I had to activate 3,000 women, where we had to go and lay hands on 3,000 women. And the pastors that were with me and the people that were with me, they had to catch 3,000 women. So it was ladies who were catching 3,000 women. Men of Encounter, I want to tell you that you guys can feel a bit, I'm not going to insult you because you know my heart is not to insult, and I'm joking, but you can really feel like you got nothing on them. They did so well. All of them are sitting here. If they're not greeting you, it's because they can't raise their arms. If they're not hugging you, it's because they can't. If they're not standing up, it's because their legs don't want to move. Really, the demonstration of God's spirit and power. operating, like I said, and the signs, wonders, and miracles took place. Healings took place. Prophecy took place. Deliverance took place. Impartation took place. But what happened is that these women were so hungry for a touch from God. They were so desperate for a breakthrough. They were so desperate for a touch from God to cause them to usher into His presence. Sometimes at Encounter, we take very for granted what we have. But a lot of people, by taking for granted what they have, they keep them in a certain place and in a certain level. The moment you begin to operate in that which you have here at Encounter, you will never become familiar. Because how can you become familiar when you realize that what you have is not of yourself, but it is of God? So when there is familiarity present in your life, it is because you haven't seen or you're not experiencing it in your own life. I'm not here to rebuke. I'm not here to condemn. I'm just here to speak whatever God has instructed me to speak. I really have nothing planned. I have nothing except for a few scriptures if God wanted me to go that way. So when I say the familiarity that comes in, it's not because you're evil. It's not because you're bad. It's not because, it's just because we're spoiled. When you step out into other churches that is not operating to the level of what Encounter's operating in, your eyes open. I took some people with me yesterday to see that, listen, don't get discouraged here. You're doing something. But it also encouraged us and encouraged them to go into a new level. A lot of people in Christianity, you guys might be at a high level, but you're staying in that level. We need to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from grace to grace. We always need to make sure that we are progressing forward. So when there is something holding you back, when there is something that feels like it's pulling you back, means you're not yet overcoming that and moving forward. You, as the believer of God, have been given power and authority to overcome everything. You have been given certain gifts, certain mantles and anointing to be able to move forward. Every single one of you, not one person sitting in this building, if you are a true born-again believer, fully saved and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this has been given to you. The authority that has been given to you will never change. It'll never be removed and it will never be taken away. What does lack in our lives when it comes to the authority is the power and the faith behind it. Authority works hand in hand with power and with faith. So oftentimes we can fall back, or we can lower our faith, if I can say it that way. We can just lay it down a bit. Or a circumstance comes and it washes over us and it feels like our faith is smothered in this circumstance. But with your power that comes from praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues like we've been talking the last few weeks, that power pierces. Why? Because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. So the darkness that wants to overshadow you, the darkness that wants to overpower you with the situation that you are facing, it cannot be comprehended. Or meaning it cannot comprehend the light. The light pierces the darkness. How do you pierce the darkness? Through the power of the Holy Ghost, not from yourself, not in your own ability, not in your own strength, but it is the power of the Holy Ghost. And how do you do that practically? Through the power in your praying in tongues. It is the fire of your tongues that pierces that darkness. All power and authority has been given unto you to pierce the darkness. So every situation that you face, Every court case, every business, every trial, every tribulation, every attack, even people speaking against you, trying to get you removed, trying to do all those things. You are light, and that is darkness. And even though the darkness may have seemed like it has covered you and it seems like the darkness is taking over, I want to tell you, Encounter, that the light inside of you will pierce that darkness. But you need to believe, you need to understand that it is your authority and your power and your faith that will pierce that darkness. This life is a spiritual life. This life is not a life to live in the natural with a spirit inside of you. Even though this body might be part of a body, you are driven by a spirit that drives every movement of your body, every step that you take, every movement that your hand makes, every shake, every jump, every dance, every word that proceeds from your mouth is the spirit that is driving it. But many people are driven by their soul. They are driven by their body. They are driven by their mind, their emotions, and their intellect. And they are not driven by the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is the one living, breathing, and moving on the inside of you. It is the Spirit of the living God that is the Christ that is now your new creation. But many of us still separate the Spirit from who we are, because we are driven by our souls. We are driven by our bodies. But our souls need to be overcome. Our souls need to be renewed, refreshed. They need to be made new. We know this. We teach all of this stuff in Deliverance. I'm not going to give you a recap. The strongholds need to be pulled down. And as those strongholds are pulled down, it needs to be replaced by truth. But not truth just by a natural thinking. Truth with your spiritual man. Now, when we were there yesterday, what they wanted us to speak on is, I love this topic, but the theme of the conference was born for such a time as this. The precious pastor before me, she preached on something about influence, or you being an influence. And obviously I told you she wanted me to do Deliverance. But before that, we had a panel where we spoke about the Great Commission. She wanted to discuss the Great Commission a little bit. Now, unfortunately, when there is time and there's limitations, you can never talk and explain and do everything to the fullness of it. Amen. But even in that, if you are living a spiritual life, you know that God directs your path. He directs your words. He directs everything you say, everything that you do, everything that happens for that moment. But you better know that tomorrow there's going to be more. And the next day, there's going to be more. And the next day, there's going to be more. And the next day, there's going to be more. But many people stop on Saturday and they think that was enough. And they think that was good. And then they realize when they get to Thursday and they wonder, yo, why am I feeling like this? Then they realize, then eventually you'll have me standing in front of you telling you the reason why is because we stayed on Saturday. We stayed on Saturday's anointing. We stayed on Saturday's revelation. We stayed on Saturday's, being used. We just stuck to Saturday. But if you do Saturday, you do Sunday, you do Monday, you do Tuesday, you do Wednesday, you do Thursday, you do Friday, you do Saturday, you do Sunday, you do Monday, you do Tuesday, you do Wednesday, you do Thursday, you do Friday, you do Saturday. Every single day is a day to be living a spiritual, living a life in the Spirit, not in the natural mindset. Yes, but Prophet Tess, you know that is very difficult and it's very impossible. I know. I have to do it too. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy for Prophet. But we have to pull ourselves back. Don't put guilt and shame and condemnation on yourself when you don't do it. Somebody asked yesterday, one of the questions that was just a natural question to ask, and they said, you know, she said, what would you ladies, or what do you ladies do, or what advice do you ladies have for the ladies, or all of us, that we all are, you know, human as well. And I can't remember how she stated the question, but the point of the question was, you know, when you've just had such a bad day and you've screamed at the kids and you did this and you did that and all these kind of things, what do you do at the end of the day when you just want to pull it back together? So with all love and respect, you know, they said, you know, you go and you read the word and you pray and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I just said straightforward, I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to go now and pray and read the word and all that kind of stuff. I want to first go home. I want to be removed from the situation. I want to lie in my bath with some bubble bath and a bath bomb, relax myself, relax my spirit. Then I can go outside and I can walk and I can look at nature. I can look at creation. I can see how the birds move, how the trees move, how the wind blows through the trees, how the birds so beautifully fly in the sky in their formation that has purpose to them that I don't understand yet. And how the grass is moving, how the bugs are walking through the grass. And in that moment, instead of trying to be religious, not saying that they are, just instead of trying to be religious, what do? I find God in His creation. And in that moment, I don't have guilt and shame because I felt the way that I did because I freaked out that day. But in that moment, I would go, I'm not saying I don't do it every time, but that was just my answer because that's what I thought that if I actually think about it, I'd actually like to do that. That's exactly what I did yesterday, except for I didn't walk outside. But in that moment of where I'm watching creation, and I'm watching, knowing that this is all God. And this is just a little tiny fragment of what God has done. It brings me back into that place of where I'm conscious, where I'm focused, where I'm ready to go once again. And with this meeting that we had with the people, obviously part of the Great Commission is to cast out demons. And as we were reading this thing, and I was really inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak today, because I was supposed to speak on the mystery of tongues, but He didn't want me to do that. So I'm obedient. So I have to listen and I have to do what God wants to do. But I want to read a few scriptures because I have 15 minutes with you. Matthew 28 verse 19 to 20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Many people don't even know what the Great Commission is. Many people want to know, what is my call? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? How do I know the call of God for my life? One of the most asked questions in Christianity is, what is the call and the purpose of God for my life? Every single one of us, we don't see in the Bible that I was called to ministry. We don't see a business. We don't see in the Bible I was called to be a model. We don't see in the Bible I was called to be a sports player. We don't see in the Bible I was called to be a race car driver. We don't see in the Bible I was called to running my own factory or whatever. We don't see any of that in the Bible. What do we see in the Bible that God has commanded you and I to do? Go into all the nations and make disciples. Teaching, preaching, casting out devils, healing the sick. This is what every single one of us were given to do. How you do that is where it comes in. That is where the modeling comes in. That is where the race car driving comes in, where the businesses come in, where the everything comes in. If you believe that you're called to be a kingdom financier, you better believe that while you're doing that, you better fulfill the Great Commission. You better be casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel, making disciples. But many people are held back. Many people are weighed down because they're not finding fulfillment in life. even if you are in your dream job, it seems to be, it's supposed to be a dream, but it's still weighing you down. Why? Because you're not fulfilling the purpose and the calling behind that job. Being a kingdom financier is not just about bringing in finances. Yes, we need the finances. We need that. But imagine how much more you will bring in for the kingdom when somebody's life is touched, turned around, changed and transformed. When their wife that is dying at home is healed because of your prayer. When their son that is demon possessed is set free because of your ability to cast out that devil by the power and the authority and the faith that God has put in you on the day that you decided to make him your Lord and Savior. Imagine, many people become comfortable with the life that they are living. Many people think it's not for me. I'm not that good. I'm not able. No. Every single one of you sitting here is able and capable to fulfill the Great Commission. Everybody sitting here is able to cast out a devil, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel, and make disciples of all nations. Not in your own strength and your own ability, but every single one of you. Many people just try and do it outside of where God wants them to do it. And you never have to do it alone. Because in Matthew 28 verse 20, it says, I am with you always. If that word always is in the Bible, you better know there's no trickery behind it. There's no such thing as like, oh, what is that thing called reverse psychology? There's no such thing as reverse psychology in the Bible. If God says, if Jesus says that he's always with you, you better know that he's with you. Jesus was the one who demonstrated this on the earth. Jesus came to preach, to teach, to heal the sick and cast out devils, and obviously make disciples. So for Jesus's whole ministry, what was he doing? He was making disciples. He was teaching them how to be a discipler and how to train your disciples. He was showing them, demonstrating to them how to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and preach the gospel. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The disciples imitated Jesus as he did what the Father wanted him to do. Many of us try and do it in our own strength and our own ability and our own ways. Yes, God can take you to that place, but it starts somewhere else. If people copied the disciples, if the disciples had their disciplees, they were watching how they imitated Christ. And eventually you become the one where people imitate. That is the whole purpose behind discipleship. But they need to see you do it. Now, I know that in Encounter, we cast out devils. I know we heal the sick. I know we preach the gospel. I know we make disciples. But the scary reality is that there's some that do it. There's some that do it. There's some that do it better than others. There's some that do it more often than others. But this Great Commission is for every single one of us to fulfill, wherever you are. The more you do it, the more you will practice. But it starts off by taking a step of faith. Another question that came up yesterday is that they said that, you know, if somebody is not healed, what then? My first answer was, then God didn't heal them. I'm not the healer, I'm not the deliverer, I'm not the one who sets them free. Then God didn't do it. Why God didn't do it, I don't know. But then when we left, because we didn't have a lot of time to actually discuss, so it moved on quickly away from me. But as I was sitting there and as I left, I thought to myself, yes, I'm not the healer, I'm not the deliverer, Jesus is. And if that person in that moment is not healed and is not delivered and whatever the situation is, the situation has its turn around or so on, Yes, it is up to God to do it, but I still have power and authority to do that. I'm the one who God is supposed to do it through. Then I began to think, and God began to speak to me, is that, and I remembered what we've been taught so many times, how we need to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and all those things. So I still have a responsibility to increase. I still have the responsibility for my faith to grow. Why is there a difference between some people that were that had faith, and there's some people that had great faith? So if we look at the centurion soldier, the Roman soldier, the centurion man, he came to Jesus. He was the first person that Jesus made reference to of as having great faith. He came and he asked Jesus to, obviously, because I don't have a lot of time, I'm not going to read the scripture, but it's in Matthew 8 somewhere. He came to Jesus and asked, we all know the story. Came to Jesus, asked him to heal him. He said, I'm a man under authority. I know you can just speak a word and he will be healed. And Jesus said to him, like, he's got great faith, and his servant was healed. Then if we look at the second time that God made reference to it, I think it's in Matthew somewhere. It was the Shunammite woman whose daughter was demon possessed. Now remember, both of these people were Gentiles. They were not Jews at that time. So this Shunammite woman from Canaan came and she begged Jesus for deliverance. Jesus didn't answer her. She went to the disciples. The disciples didn't answer her. They tried to get her away. And they went to Jesus and said, just chase this woman away. And then Jesus obviously told her that he cannot give the children's bread away. I'm paraphrasing the scripture. And she said, but even the dogs are worthy to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus obviously healed her daughter in that moment. And he said, great is your faith. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Those were the only two times that God spoke about, or the Bible, sorry, speaks about people that had great faith. Every other person that was set free, healed or whatever, they were spoken in reference of having faith. What made the two what made the great faith and the faith people stand apart? It was the faith people had faith for themselves. The great faith people had faith for others, for their servant and for their daughter. So with the authority and the power and the faith that God has placed inside of you, with the instruction that He's given you to go out and make disciples, the number one key to making disciples is that you need to give them what you have. You need to show them that they would want to have what you have. So with your faith, they can see that you have faith, and therefore you can step into a new dimension of having great faith on behalf of somebody else and somebody else's situation. It is a level that you step into, but you can only step into great faith the moment that you stand on behalf of somebody else for their breakthrough, for their miracle, for their healing. For their families to be set free by demonic oppression and demonic possession. The world is crying out. And they might not be saying, Jesus, I need you. But they're crying out by going after drugs and alcohol and prostitution and whatever it is that they're going after to look for some form of fulfillment. But the church is just sitting and judging them and watching how these people are dying and being separated from God for the rest of their life. Not understanding that it is your responsibility to go out into all the nations, pull these people out of a life of darkness and into a life of light, freedom, and liberty, and victory, and prosperity, and fulfillment. The church has become familiar.
with the presence and with the responsibility as a born-again believer. The church has become selfish, just worrying about themselves. The church, not encounter, but the church have become persecutors of the very thing that Jesus did, the very sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross, the very instructions that Jesus himself gave us to believe or to follow as his believers. The church has become the persecutors of that. And they think they're working for God. They think they're doing something for God. But encounter, I want you that have the truth that we don't have everything. We don't know everything. But what God has given you, he's given you a church that will develop you, that will grow you, that will cause you to usher in to this level of walking with power, walking with authority, walking in victory. And I do not want our church to carry on being pulled down anymore. You get revelation. You get impartation. It is time that you take your position. You take responsibility of the Great Commission and go out there. If it doesn't happen the way that you've seen it, if it doesn't happen the way that you expected, so what? God is watching you. Be obedient. He's watching you. He's going to cause you to grow. This time you might have made a mistake. It's fine. God doesn't worry about mistakes. He doesn't worry about your failures, about your fears, about your inabilities. He just wants to see who has faith to step out and do it, because it is impossible to please God without faith. He wants to see who is willing to step out. Who can I use? He will never use you if you stay back. He will never use you if you have no faith. And your faith will start small. But the more you do, you walk away, say, Father, I know that person wasn't healed right now. If it is something that is coming from me, show me, Holy Spirit. How can I increase? You go home, you pray in the Spirit. If you have half an hour, you make that half an hour the most intimate, most beautiful time. It is not about the time frame that you do it in. It is about the heart. God is after the heart. He is not after your time. He is after your heart. So if your heart only has 10 minutes to do it, I promise you, your 10 minutes is going to be so much more effective than 4 hours of religious prayers. It is time that the body of Christ move out of a place of religion and tradition and people preaching religion and tradition. Now, there are times where you have 4 hours. Enjoy it. Take it. Don't waste it. Because you don't know when there is going to come a time where you're going to have 4 hours again. There's times where we as a ministry, our pastors, and every single one of us, apart from having the life that we have to live to survive, there's times where we are so busy and we have no time. But every single one of us, we have this personal conversation with God the whole time. We might not have the ability to raise our power behind us, but we've already been given power. And the moment that comes and we have the ability to spend 10 minutes, spend 30 minutes while we're driving, we do it. But people don't do it because they think they have to do it religiously. They try and do it religiously. We have a responsibility, body of Christ. I'm not even going to call you encounter, because there's people watching that is not part of encounter. We have a responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. Many people, they undermine the Bible. Why do I say that? Because it's just a book that I read looking for my situation that I need help in, that I can stand on faith, that I can pray, that I can confess. And I don't mean it to condemn anyone. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to challenge you. Sometimes when you're a parent, you can't be nice. There's times when you have to take authority and you have to bring a bit of a whip. You know, the Bible says, do not spare the rod, not just for our natural children. If we're going to just rub your ears the whole time, what are we going to do? We're going to create spoiled, fat children. who's so fat with the word of God, but do absolutely nothing with it. Yesterday, I gave everything that I could. Trust me, you try and lay hands and impart, not just touch people, but impart to 3,000 women where you have to stay conscious and you have to stay in the spirit to lay hands on everyone. Your body can't anymore. Your breath can't blow anymore. Go home and try. Breathe 3,000 times in a row and then you can tell me tonight. But actually mean something behind it, not just blow. Even if you blow in the natural. It's not about the blowing. It's not about the touch. But I know for some people, their faith starts with that. They need somebody to have contact with them. Why do we prophesy? Why do we minister? Why do we heal the sick with contact? Because sometimes it takes contact. Why did Paul have to anoint a handkerchief and send the handkerchief out for people to be healed? Some people's faith is very low. Some people have no faith at all. So you have to come in and have great faith on behalf of them. Maybe tonight I'll get time to read the scriptures because I have to leave almost for the other branch. But as the body of Christ, we cannot be sitting back. I don't care what anyone has lied to you. I don't care what anybody has said to you. I don't care how many times you have been rejected in a job. I don't care how many times your applications or your ability to bring in money has been difficult. I don't care. I don't. If you turn out to be a beggar on the street, walk that street, because there are people that are not going to the beggars. There are people who are not ministering to the people that are down and out on the lowest of low. So God might take you because He knows you can handle it. He knows that you will walk with authority. You will walk with power and you will walk there. Doesn't matter if you are sleeping next to them. Sometimes they need to see that this person understands, but how can this person have so much fire, have so much glory, have so much power and have the anointing that you sleep next to them and they shake at night because the demons that are coming out of them. Now, we probably don't have any of those people in the church. Sometimes the blessing of God is not yet released because He wants to use you there. But we are so self-centered that we don't see it. Trust me, Prophet and I have struggled. We've had times where we can't eat. We have times where we can't go anywhere, where we have to drive a little scooter and we break down in the most dangerous part of South Africa. We had times where we were overflowing with so much debt that the weight of this finances is weighing you down. We had times where our salary was so small that only by God's grace we were eating every day. Although there were many times that we weren't eating. There was many times that we didn't have. People think we just have. But because we went through that, I can stand here and I can testify to you that because of what we've been through, because of making it through, because of not stopping, because of going on and keeping our faith strong and keeping our faith in the Lord, who is the provider of His children, we were keeping our faith in Him. We were doing the work of the ministry. Doesn't matter what position or what place we were in, we were following the commandments that He's given us. Were we perfect? Absolutely not. But it's better that we weren't perfect. It's better that we made mistakes in many places and areas of our lives. We had to, so that I can stand here and talk from experience. But other people need you to talk from experience so that they can understand, or so that they can relate, and so that they can receive. Because if you are now blessed, watch, just do something with the situation that you're facing. Just do something. And watch how God turns that situation around. Church, it is our purpose. It is our call. It is our instruction. It is our mandate to fulfill the Great Commission. Full stop. How do you fulfill the Great Commission? With your faith, with your increase in power, with your increase in faith, with the glory of God that increases in your life. And that comes through discipline. That comes through taking a step of faith and increasing as you go. Making mistakes along the way, learning from your mistakes, picking yourself up, running again, not stopping. So when we say, read the Bible, pray, do all these things, it is not because we're putting on law. No, we are giving you the ability on how to do it. Jesus showed us in his life. Amen? And I know to a degree, a lot of us do it. But my question for you, let's start off with the people who don't do it. My question for you that don't do it, why? I want you to examine yourself today and think why. The people who want to do it but haven't yet started, why? The people who are doing it, I want you to question and examine yourself today. And I want you to think about, God, am I doing it? Not enough, because that can seem like condemnation. But you're not asking from a place of condemnation. You're asking from a place of His grace. Where, Lord, what more can I do? Not, am I doing enough in the condemnation sense. But from a place of grace, God, what more can I do? How can I increase? And I can guarantee you that one of the ways that you will increase, Prophet and Pastor Martin took the last 2 weeks to preach enough about it. If you've forgotten what they preach, go and listen to it again. But we need to be growing, always growing, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Before you walk to minister to somebody, pray in tongues. Before you walk into an interview, pray in tongues. Before you walk into a business meeting, pray in tongues. Before you walk on, let's say, for example, we have a model, and I'm doing it on purpose. Before you walk out on the catwalk, pray in tongues. While you're walking on the catwalk, pray in tongues. Even if there's a secular song playing, so what? People want to become religious and only put it to, I must do this, I must do that. There's some more anointed songs that are worldly songs that are singing out of a place of pain. They don't know how to cry out to God. So they cry out as in what their music gives. And there's more anointing on that because God is looking at their heart. He's just saying, where are my people? Where are my people that are supposed to be ministering, reaching out to those people? Not reaching out in religion, not reaching out in condemnation, but by His goodness. Reaching out in His goodness, in His love, in His compassion, in His mercy, because it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Trust me, they condemn, guilt, and shame themselves enough. As believers, we need to be walking as the Christ that is inside of us. If you start off by something so simple, and this is sometimes something that I do. Now, the religious people will speak against it. As you're walking, see yourself as Jesus. As you're walking, every story, if you've never read the Bible, just go read everything about this Jesus, where you can actually see Jesus, where it's not, like relating to Jesus or, you know, symbolic of Jesus or whatever. No, just go read Jesus's life. Just go read the Gospels. If you never read the Bible in your life, go and read the Gospels. Make sure that every week you read all four Gospels. The next week, read all four Gospels. The next week, read all four Gospels. And the next week, all four Gospels. Just for a month. Just the four Gospels every week. Nothing else. I don't know if you'll be able to stay there because you'll get so stirred up that you'll want to read more. But let's say, just do that.
And when you imagine yourself walking into a place as Jesus, you see yourself, you've got this natural body, but you're looking with your spiritual eyes. Everybody has seen some form of Jesus on an image that people have drawn. Even if it's not him, don't be religious about it. Just imagine the most beautiful picture that you've seen, the one that really touched your heart, the one that caused you to have tears streaming down your face, because in the natural realm, you could see something that you so desperately wanted to see in the spirit. So take that image and walk. Walk with authority, walk with honor, walk with respect, walk with humility, but walk with the power and the authority that has been given into you. And as you walk, pray. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So even right now, he's praying. So as you're walking as Jesus, imagine yourself walking as Jesus. Imagine yourself kneeling at the throne before him, falling at his feet, and he's laying his hand on your head. And while he's doing that, he's praying for you. Now, a lot of people want to get religious. Yeah, but God is too big. He doesn't actually, you know, so what? If in your natural mind to build your faith, you see it, why does God say that we need an imagination? Now you want to limit the imagination. Why does he give us images? Why does he show us certain things so that we can imagine it in our state and in our ability? If life is spiritual, if earth is a copy of heaven, then why not? Come on. Heaven looks like earth. Do you understand? I hope I'm breaking boxes. I hope I'm stretching your mindset. I hope I'm putting fire and faith and a hunger inside of you to do what you have been called to do. You have the authority. Just increase in your faith. Just increase in your level of power. But it doesn't mean you can't do it. Everybody starts somewhere. If it doesn't happen, turn around and be encouraged. God, it didn't happen this time the way that I thought, but I'm not losing my faith. I'm going to increase. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I guess I need to just go hear a little bit more of the word. Let me go hear a little bit more of the word. Let me go listen a little bit more of the word. Let me go read a little bit more of the word so that my faith can increase. And hey, my level of power felt a little bit insignificant today, but let me go increase my power. All the way home. Instead of sulking and moping and putting it on yourself, don't be so self-righteous and thinking it was from you. But it is you and the Holy Spirit in partnership. Understand? I don't have more time. But thank God for Rishay. Amen? Everybody say, thank God for Rishay. If Rishay wasn't here, then we don't know what would have happened, because God put a certain grace on his life that no man can come close to. He knows what it is because I told him, but I don't feel like telling the people who pray against us. Not that they have any power. But tonight, whatever God's going to do, I don't know. I don't have a message prepared. I have nothing prepared except for the instruction to pray. I'm not saying I'm not going to come with something. I read one scripture out of all the scriptures I wrote down. So whatever God's going to say from the rest of them, so be it. But I want you to come, even if it's with your little bit of faith. Me, Pastor Martin, all the pastors, we will be here on your behalf with a great faith. To have deliverance in your situation, to have healing in your situation, to have restoration in your situation. So bring your documents. All I saw was documents and whatever God was doing with the documents. I don't want to tell you now. I saw that, so please bring a point of contact tonight. Bring people that need deliverance, people that need the love of God, people that need a touch from God. Please don't be selfish and don't be so, they're not going to want to come. Do everything that you can to get somebody here. If not, you're not yet making disciples. Because in your business place, you can make disciples. In your workplace, you can make disciples. It is not just disciples in the church.
We already should be disciples, discipling people. But unfortunately, the church is still a step back where we need to disciple one another. I'm not saying we mustn't do that. I'm just saying I want you to think further. Okay, I'm going to go, but I'm going to see you guys tonight. Pastor Nadine is just going to pray for us. She's going to close, and we'll see you guys later.